Okay, let's get into Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud Beis. This brings us to the halfway point through the Sefer, 24 Prakim. So, Be'ez Hashem, after this shir, we will have a Chazara shir on the first 12 Prakim. But today we have the Perek of Kivsas HaRosh. This is the Perek that goes with the previous Perek. Right after David HaMelech did what he did with Bathsheba and Uriah, and the last we heard, there was a child born to Bathsheba. Right away, Hashem sends Nasan HaNavi to David. We know David also had a son named, same name Natan, but this is Nasan HaNavi he sends to David. And Nasan starts telling him a story. There were two people, one rich, one poor. The rich man had everything. The poor man had nothing except one little sheep. Somebody comes to visit the rich man. The rich man doesn't want to take anything out of his own property. So he goes and takes the one sheep that the poor man has, that the poor man was so close with. And he takes it and gives it away. And David stands up immediately and says, "Who does that? Ben Mavis o Isha Osezos. That's terrible. The person who does that is Chayav Misa." And Nathan turns to David and says, "Atah ha'ish, you are that man. You are that man. You had everything. You have many wives. You have everything. And you went and took Uriah's wife. You were the one you took. How could you do that? Such a terrible thing. And you sent Uriah to be killed. And you took his wife. And because of that," Nathan says, "the cherev, the sword, will not leave your house for many, many years, because you were Mavaza, and you killed, and you took the wife of Uriah. Hashem says, I'm going to bring Ra'a mi Beisecha from amongst your own house. You're going to have difficulties. Your wives are going to be taken. They're going to have to be with other people. And what you did in private, I am going to make sure that it is punished in public." David hears that, and he says two words. Chatasi Lashem. Chatasi Lashem, I sinned. And then, Nathan says, accepted. Yes, you will not die, but you will have many, many tragedies and problems throughout your life. Your child that you just had is going to die, and with that, Nathan leaves. He leaves, the child gets very sick, David fasts and goes to the floor, and davens, 7 days pass, and the child dies. David, right after that, gets up, and he washes, puts on his clothes, and goes and becomes himself again. And his avadim say, I don't understand. Before the child died, you were on the floor, and you were fasting, and you were lying. And now, he says, well, what do I have to daven for anymore now? The child is already dead. I have nothing to daven for. And he just went into Bathsheba. He tried to comfort her, and he did. He was with her, and he has another child named Shlomo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though, gives him another name, and that is Yedidya. So we have Shlomo Yedidya born right here. And then the parak ends off by continuing what we started off with, the Ammon fight. Yoav is still conquering Ammon. It seems clearly a very long fight. Yoav is about to conquer the major city. He sends to David because he wants to give David the covet. David, come and you be the one to conquer the city so the victory can be called on your name. And that's exactly what he does. He comes and the city of Ammon is defeated and David goes back to Yerushalayim. That is the Perek. Perek Yud Beis, as we said, this is Yud Aleph and Yud Beis really sets the stage for the entire rest of the Sefer, because everything that was forecast right now is going to come true as the Sefer continues. We've mentioned many times that David HaMelech is not someone who has the easiest life, but he has many challenges. But he still was David throughout it all, and that's why we can learn so much from him. Okay, back to the beginning of the parak. Vayishlach Hashem es Nasan el David. Hashem says Nasan to David, Vayavo elav, and he says to him, he starts telling him what's called the mashal of kivsas harosh, the keves, the sheep of the rush of the poor person. That's what this is known as. Vayomer lo shnei anashim hayu be'ir achas, echad asher ve'echad rush. There was someone who was rich, there was someone who was poor. The Ashir had tzon uvakar harbe ma'od, had a ton of property and cattle. Vola rashein kol, kiim kivsachas ktana asher kana. He has one little sheep that he was kone. Right? What does kone mean? The Radak here says, kiddushin is a kinyan. Right? That's why when he had one that he acquired, he was married to. He was married to, right? That was the one wife that he had. Vayechayeho. And he took care of this sheep. Vatigdalimovim barav yachtav. And the sheep was like one of his family members. He loved it. Mi pito tocha, mi koso tishte. He gave the sheep to eat from his bread and drink from his kos. Ubecheko tishka, vadilo kabas. It was like a child. And then what happens? Pasuk Dalet. Vayavo Halech Leisha Ashir. A Halech, which means like a traveler, comes to the rich person. Vayachmo Lakachas Mitzono Mibukara Lasos La'oreach. And he doesn't want to give from his own sheep to the guest, Habalo, Vayikach, and therefore he goes and takes the Kipsas Ha'isha Rosh, Vayaseh Lo Isha Ba'ilav, and he goes and gives it to the man that comes to him. The Gemara Mesecha Sukkah, Dafnun Beis, Rashi quotes it here, that in this Pasuk, the visitor is portrayed as three individuals. First, the visitor is called a Halach, a traveler, then he's called an Oreach, a guest, and then finally he's called an Ish, a man. The Gemara says, that's the Yetzahara. The Yetzahara tries to get a little bit in, and first he's like a visitor, he comes in, he doesn't really belong there. Then he becomes a guest who's sitting there, and then he becomes an Ish, somebody who lives there. Right, that was the Yetzahara going into the rich man's personality, and that's what the Gemara says, that the Yetzahara goes in, little by little, into the personality. Vayicharav David v'ishmaod, Pasuk Hey, David gets extremely angry, vayomar nas, and he jumps up from his throne, and he says, Chai Hashem, I swear, ki ben mavis ho'isha osezos. That man is chayiv misa, that rich man. That's akivso yishalim arbasayim, and he's got to pay four times over for the keves, right, like we tell from Parsha Mishpatim, you have to pay four times or five times, because of what he did, and he did not have compassion on the poor man. First question, who says you're ever chayiv misa for stealing? Right, he's chayiv misa, ben maves, who? Okay, he did a terrible thing, and he didn't do something right, but is that chayiv misa? So the pashas is that it's an exaggeration. It's a guzma, right? It doesn't really mean that he's chayiv misa. That's the simple interpretation. But there are other pshatim. The Be'er Moshe here says, maybe David is saying, ben maves, if he keeps going down this path, he's going to ultimately kill. Not that he actually killed right now. If he steals and he has no thought and no protection of other people's property, it's going to lead him to do terrible things, ultimately lead into a ben maves. But the other pshatim that say otherwise, the Malbim. The Malbim says, this is David HaMelech talking. Remember, says the Malbim, there are two types of mishpat. There's the mishpat of Bezdin, and there's the mishpat of HaMelech. Bezdin, or what he calls the mishpat HaShoftim, of a judge. You have to figure out what the halacha says about something. That's fine within the halacha. Shashoftim, says the Malbim, lo yishpatu rakafia Torah asher tashkif ala pa'ula. What the Torah says, v'mishpat hagonev seh utfacho charutz yishalim arbetzon ta'agada seh. What does it say in the Torah? You got to pay kefel, and if you shechta, you have to pay four times. Fine. Aval hamelech yishpo lefi hashah ulefi hapoel. But a king judges based on what he thinks. Shebenidon zeh Yachrot ha-mishpat l'fi ha-achzarius v'roa ha-leiv seh ashir b'maseyu. But a king has more elastic power, as we have mentioned often. The king is allowed to take the law if he feels the generation needs it. He's allowed to do things beyond what is right in front of him and what is technically the law. And that's why David being the king, he says, this guy's chayav misa for what he represents, for what he is doing. The gamar osoki ban mavis kazeo isha zos. Shebitzado isha poel, chayav misa. So yes, technically he's not chayav misa, but in the world of Malchus, where you have elastic power, he is chayav misa. The Musar HaNeviim has another suggestion. He says, a ben Noach is chayav misa for the sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach. So he says, maybe here he's not acting like a Jew. He's not acting like a Jew who has those midos that every Jew has, rachmanim, baishanim, v'gom lechasadim. So that's why he's like a ben Noach, and therefore we'll treat him like that. And besides, now let's go to the next phrase David said, he's chaya misa, and he's chaya four times. Chazal, the Gemara in Yuma, tells us, Rashi and the Radak both quote it, he was really pronouncing his own punishment, because David was punished, four of his children ultimately had terrible things happen to them. Rashi quotes, and the Radak quotes the four children, this little child that was just born is going to die, Amnon, Tamar, and Avshalom. All the stories that we're going to read over the next couple of weeks about these tragic stories that happened to David and to his children, that's the four. The four that he said. So, by Yom HaNasel David, Atah Ish, you are that man. You are that rich man that stole something. And Chazal and many of the Bali Musar say, this is exactly what's going to be the Mishpat in the future. La'asilavo. When we go up to Shemayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show us our lives on someone else. And we're not going to realize it. Oh, but people say, oh, now I realize it, I'm not going to fall for it. No. Hashem's going to do that, and he's going to tell us, judge this case. And whatever we judge, That is going to be what's going to happen to us. That's why the Chavetz Chaim and Rav Yisrael Salanter all say, we have to condition ourselves to be Dalan Kav Schus type of people. Because if we're Dalan Kav Schus, then we'll be Dalan Kav Schus, that future story, and then it'll ultimately work out well for us. But that is what the Svarim say, that Atoho Ish, that is what's going to be said to all of us when we stand in front of judgment. Ko Amar Hashem, continues Nasan, Elokei Yisrael, Hashem says, Anochi Meshachticha L'melech al Yisrael, I made you the king. V'anochi Yitzalticha Miyad Shaul, and I saved you. V'etna L'chaz Beis Adonecha, V'etna She Adonecha, I saved you from Shaul, I gave you his wives, I gave you everything. And V'im Ma'at, and if you thought it was too little, Chazal Darshan in Sanhedrin, if you didn't think you had enough wives, he had six at the time. Va'osifa lecha kohena v'chahena. The Gemara dashes from there that the maximum wives a king could have are 18. The Torah says a king could have too many wives. What's too many? So the Gemara dashes from this pasuk 18. Because kohena like I have a kohena. So the Gemara, David is being told, Hashem say, I could have given you more wives. You didn't have to go through this track. Madua bazi says Devar Hashem, why did you disgrace the word of God? Lasos hara beinai, to what's evil in my eyes. Es Uriah hachiti hikisa b'cherev. You killed Uriah. Really? He killed Uriah? Hikisa b'cherev. He didn't kill Uriah. He sent him into battle. This, the Gemara says, this is the Gemara in Kiddushin Adaf Mem Gimel. The Radak quotes it. Even though the rule usually is ain shliach ledvar aveira, you can't make a shliach to do an aveira. If you used to make a shliach to do an aveira, he gets the aveira, not you. Exception to the rule, according to at least one opinion there in Kiddushin, because you see here the pasuk says that David is the one that's considered chayimisa. He sent somebody to kill Uriah. Maybe by murder it's different. Maybe by murder you say yesh shliach ledvar aveira. That's what it said in the Gemara. The Radak has a little different take on that Gemara. He adds in one line. If you don't look at the Gemara, you don't realize he's not saying exactly what the Gemara is saying. The Radak is saying not only yesh shliach ledvar aveira by murder, but where the king gives the command to kill, so nobody's going against that. Whatever the king says goes. Says the Radak, lefisha hayamelech ve'ein over al mitzvaso ki'u harago, as if he killed him. The same thing with Shaul. Shaul told Doeg to wipe out the city of Nov, so it was as if Shaul killed him. And that's why he was punished for that. And he says, the Radak continues, and even though you shouldn't listen to the king if he asks you to do an Aveira, just like with a parent, you're not allowed to listen. So people shouldn't listen, but, you know, he's the king. So it's pretty scary. So you could assume that people are going to listen, and therefore David is considered as the one who killed Uriah. So, he continues, you killed Uriah, ves ishto lakachta lachal isha, and you took his wife right away, v'yoso harakta b'cherev b'nei amon, v'yata lo tasur cherev mibeischad olam, pasuk yud, the sword will never leave your house. That's all of his descendants who are going to be killed. That's the punishment for what he did to Uriah. And then, the punishment for taking the wife right away, that his wives, ko amar Hashem, hineni mekim alecha ra mibeischa, v'lakachti yisdashecha leinecha, and I'm going to take your wives. Somebody from your house is going to take your wives. David, the Gemara Darshan's in Brachas. David has no idea who it's going to be. There's a Mizmar of David, Bevarcha b'bnei Avshalom b'no. There's a Mizmar in Tehillim. So the Gemara Darshan, Mizmar, should be Akina. He should be crying. What do you mean Mizmar? When David finds out later on that Avshalom took some of his wives. The answer is that David, based on this pasuk, was nervous. Who's going to take my wives? An Eved, somebody in a lower social class, when he hears it was his own son, he sings. Within the tragedy, he's able to see something good. At least it's my son, and nobody else. But that's part of the punishment. Continues Nasa, v'nasati l'reyecha, v'shachavim nashecha, le'enei hashemesh hazos. This is what's going to happen. The Radak asks another amazing philosophical question here. And that is, so what does Hashem say? Avshalom is going to sleep with your wives. Ask the Radak, how can Hashem be gozer that somebody else is going to do a sin? Something called v'chira chavshis. Right? What is he saying here? How can he say that Avshalom is going to take David's wives? How can a Kadosh Baruch Hu be gozer? E gozer hakel al Avshalom sheyechta v'yishkav im nishay aviv. V'im lo chata David lo hayachot Avshalom. And what, according to this, if David would never have done this Avera, then Avshalom would never have done the Avera? And it's only because David sinned that Avshalom sinned? That's not fair. So the Radak has two ideas. Number one, the Radak says, Hashem doesn't say here who it's going to be. If it wouldn't have been Avshalom, it would have been somebody else. There was Bechira Chavshis. Anybody could have done it. Somebody would have done it. Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't gozer on anybody, and that's why the person still had Bechira Chavshis. This reminds us, I'm sure some are thinking, this reminds us of the Rambam. the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where he says, Hashem tells Avram Avinu that your people are going to be subjugated in a strange land, and then I'm going to punish them, the Egyptians, the Mitzrayim. So what they do wrong? Hashem said that they were going to be punished. They were going to be subjugated by the Egyptians. Why were the Egyptians punished? Says the Rambam, well, Hashem didn't say that any specific person was going to do it. Hashem says the strange people. And even if it was the Mitzrayim, every Egyptian had the Bechira Chavshis not to torture the Jews. That's the Rabbah Menachos Tshuva. Lefi shelo gozer al ish ploni hayadua, shiyehu azoneh. Everyone that gave to torture them, they could have stopped. That's exactly what the Radak says here. Hashem didn't say Avshalom was going to do it. Number one. Number two, the second answer he quotes is from Rav Saad Yigon, that the gezeira and the punishment was the sword, was the cherev. The znus was a nevuah. It was Hashem not being gozer, but just saying what was going to happen. Because this is what Hashem knew, Hashem foresaw. But that's the general issue, that Hashem's foreknowledge does not impact on free choice. Maybe he was talking about Avshalom. Right, now against the first answer, he was talking about Avshalom, but he wasn't being gozer here. He was just saying, "I know this is what was going to happen." And obviously, as the Rambam also writes in Hilchos Tshuva, God's foreknowledge doesn't prevent free choice. Okay, so Vayomer David Anasan, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Chatasi Lashem. Two words: I sinned. And all of the Mefarshim contrast this reaction to Shaul HaMelech's reaction. What happened by Shaul, if you remember? Shmuel comes to Shaul, what'd you do? Shaul says, oh, what did I do? I did fine, I didn't do anything wrong. And then he blames it on the people. And then ultimately, only until he has no choice, he says, I sinned. David, right away, Chatasi Lashem. And there's even a break in the Navi here, in the middle of a pasuk, there's a space. There's a break in the Navi. So they say, B'shem the Gra, that David HaMelech had so much to say, he wanted to be Misvadeh, he wanted to confess everything, but he just broke down and he couldn't talk. He was so deeply hurt by the tshuva that he was doing, he just broke down and couldn't talk. That's why there's a space in the Navi. Nasan picks up on that and therefore responds to him and says, tshuva accepted. Doesn't mean that you're not going to get punished, right? But tshuva accepted. Vayomer Nasan el David, gam Hashem, heavirth chatascha v'lo tamus. Hashem will remove your sin a little bit. You're not going to die. You're going to get a lot of tzaris in Olam Hazeh. But you're not going to die. You're going to get Olam Haba. Also, many point out that this is also connected to the ancestors of David and Shaul. Binyamin and Yehuda. Yehuda was the paradigm of tshuva. Yehuda, by Yehuda and Tamar, he was able to say tzad kamimani. He was able to admit that was the koach of Yehuda. The greatness of Yehuda was to sin and to overcome sin and do tshuva. Binyamin was perfect. Binyamin was one of the four people that never sinned. Right? Who was a descendant of Binyamin? Shaul. So when Shaul did sin, he couldn't come to grips with it. He couldn't admit it. So that was part of the following the ancestors. So Nasan says to David, you're not going to die, but you angered Hashem, and therefore your son, Kol HaBen, Im Gam HaBen HaYilo L'cha Mos Yamus, your son is going to die. Pasuk Tezva, Vayelech Nasan Al Beis, Nasan goes home. Radak says he went home right after this. Usually he stuck around to give kavod to David, hang out a little bit. Here he didn't. He just walked right out. Vayigov Hashem as a yalad, he walks out. Right afterwards, Hashem smites the child, Asher Yolda, Eshes Uriel, David, Vaye Anash, and he is deathly ill. He's deathly ill. What does David do? Vayivakish David as Elokei Baranar. He starts davening. What's he davening for? The Gzei Hashem already said he's going to die. David doesn't accept that. He keeps davening and davening. And maybe this is exactly the pshat of the Gemara in Brachas Daf Yud. Remember Chizkiyahu HaMelech and Yeshayahu? Yeshayahu comes and says, you know, your daughter is going to, or your son is going to be one of the worst kings ever. And Chizkiyahu says, I know, I've seen that. And I don't want to have a child because of that. Yeshayahu says, you do what's incumbent upon you. You have a mitzvah peruvu. So he says, let me at least marry your daughter. Right? So then at least the schus of both of us could help save us. So Yeshayahu says the gzeira is already done. There's no use. What does Chizkiyahu HaMelech say? Chizkiyahu, a descendant of David, I have a mesorah for my family. Even if the sword is on your neck, you don't stop davening. Where's that Masorah from? Probably right here. Even after David is told that his baby son is going to die, he keeps davening. And Vayatzav David Tzom, he fasts. Vufav alon b'shachav arti, he sleeps on the floor. And people try to get him up, his family members try to get him up. No, he doesn't eat, he doesn't sleep. And on Vayibayom HaShvi, on the day 7, it can't be the day 7, he couldn't have fasted for 7 days. It means maybe the baby was 7 days old. Vayamat HaYoled, the baby dies. That has been pointed out, it's the shortest lifespan in all of Tanakh. Right, 7 days. Vayamas hayeled, vayiru avdei David lahagilo is kimes hayeled. They didn't want to tell him. They didn't want to tell him, his servants, that the boy died. Because they said, forget it, what's he going to do? Vayar David ki avada mislachshim. David figured it out himself. David sees they're all whispering near him. Vayavin David kimes hayeled, vayomer del avadim. Did he die? Hames hayeled, vayomer mes. And they said he died. Vayakon David, David immediately gets up. He gets up and he washes and he changes his clothes and he goes to the shul. Ask the Radak, ask the other he showed him. He's an Avelus. What's he washing and doing everything else for? So Pshat number one, the Radak says, maybe he was an Onain. It was before Kfura. So he didn't have halachas of Avelus yet. That's why he was able to wash. A little difficult. But then you have the second idea. The second idea, says the Radak, we know if a baby does not live till 30 days, and he doesn't have the koach to live till 30 days, there's no Avelus. There's no Avelus. He was a Nefel. Right, he was not a stillborn mamish, but he didn't have the koach to live for 30 days. He didn't have what's called kololo chadashav, and therefore there was no chiyav of avelus. A second shot. There is another amazing suggestion that one could make based on the Torah Tamima. The Torah Tamima writes, he quotes a Yerushalmi in Parshas Noach. We know the mabul started 7 days later, right? After the whole, everything was ready for the mabul, and then it said 7 days later the mabul started. What were the 7 days? So everybody knows the Rashi of Parshas Noach, because Musushelach had died. It was the Shiva for Musushelach. That's why the mabul didn't start yet. But there's a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Hashem was sitting Shiva for the world. He was about to destroy the world, and he was sitting Shiva for the world. That's what the Yerushalmi says. The question is, though, but you usually sit Shiva after the tragedy happens, not before the tragedy happens. What's the answer? HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew it was going to happen. Hashem knew. So if Hashem knew, so it was like, you don't have to wait till afterwards. Hashem knew it was about to happen. Ki'ilu. And that's why he sat Shiva, so to speak. Maybe here too, David. David knew. Theoretically, if I would know the future, and a person can know when their relative was going to die, then they could sit Shiva right then. Right beforehand. So here David knew. He was already forked. It was already told to him by Nasan. And therefore, one could say, he ki'ilu sat Shiva before even the tragedy occurred. Why that should be, that Shiva could be before, that's not for now. But this could just be exactly what happened. Okay, so the Avadim asked David, Ma davar hazeh asher asita, what'd you do? When the child was living, you fasted, you cried, and you were on the floor, and now the child is alive, dead, and you stopped doing all of that? So David says, what's the problem? Vayomer pasachav beis. Ba'od ha'yeled chai. When the child was alive, tzamti ba'efke, I cried, because I thought, mi yodea, v'chanani Hashem, v'chaye yeled. Maybe I have a chance. I'll keep davening. V'yatam eis, lama zani tzam. Ha'uchal ha'shiva od? Why should I fast? Can I bring him back? Can I bring him back? Ani ho'lechei lav, v'hu lo yeshuv elai. I'm going to go to him. He's not coming back to me. David says, in a very spooky type of pasuk. Vayenachem David, and after that he goes to Batsheva, Ishto. The Radak points out this is the first time that it's called Batsheva, his wife. Up until now it's called Uriah's wife, even after David took her. It says David took Uriah's wife. Only now that Uriah's after the punishment, and after the child dies, Batsheva is called David's wife. He goes, he is with her, and they have a child called Shlomo. In Divrei Hayamim, it sounds like Shlomo was the fourth child that they had. So it might not have been right away, but maybe he's just saying, eventually, Shlomo Vashem Ahevo, Hashem loved him, Vayishlach Biyad Nasan Anavi, he sends to Nasan, and Nasan calls him Yedidya, right, not just Shlomo. See, he has the name Shlomo. In Divrei Hayamim, it talks about why his name was Shlomo, right, beautiful pasuk. In Divrei Hayamim, Perachav Beis, pasuk Tes, Hine Ben Nol Alach Hu Yiyeh Ish Menucha, Vani Chosi Lo Mikol Ha'eva Misaviv, Ki Shlomo Yiyeh Shmo, V'Shalom V'Sheket Atein Al Yisrael B'Yamav. He's going to have peace in his time. That's Shlomo, Shalom, he's going to have peace in his days. Just two more points to mention. Number one, there is a Ramah. The Ramah says in Hilchas Avelus that when you go visit somebody in a Shiva house, you shouldn't say to the Avelim, you know what can you do? You know, this is life. You can't change it. You shouldn't say that. says the Rama. Va'yomer adam la'avel malachal la'asos, ki e efshel l'shanos, shezehu kigiduf, that's blasphemy. What, it's as if saying, you know, it would be better if you could change it. Right? Ki'ilu demash v'haim efshel l'shanos ha'ya'ose. Ela no, yekaba lov dirat Hashem yisparach be'ahava. You can't say to an avel, you know, what could you do? Says the Marshal, Yerushalayim Aluria, I think the Rama is wrong. I don't think there's a problem with saying this. Why? Our Perek, David HaMelech. What did David just say? David said, what am I supposed to do? Why did I stop davening? Can I bring him back? I'm going to go to him. He's not going to come to me. That's basically the same idea. Says the Marshal, I think the Rama is wrong. I argue on the Rama. Says the Taz right there on Shulchan Aruch quotes the Marshal and says, no. There's a big difference. David's not just whining about and complaining about the reality of death. He's saying to his servants, if you look at the context, and we can appreciate this because we just learned the parak, he's saying, why should I daven anymore? I davened that he should stay alive. But now that he's dead, what, Tchias HaMesim? No, I'm going to die before Tchias HaMesim happens, says David HaMelech. And therefore, that's what he means. He's saying there's no point in davening anymore that he should live or that he should come back. But he's not talking about death in general. That's an important machlokas between the Taz and the Marshal. But based on our perek, what was David HaMelech's kavana in the first place? The end of the parak just discusses that David HaMelech finishes up the war with Ammon. Yoav invites him. He even takes the crown of the king of Ammon. Shiloh, whether he could take that, whether it's Asr B'Hanah, it has to do with Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah discusses that. That's towards the end of the parak. But either way, after the war of Ammon, David goes back to Yerushalayim. One final point, and that is, there is a suggestion of the Shemi Shmuel, where he talks about, why did all of this, Melech HaMashiach, if it's part of a large shir, but just in a minute. Melech HaMashiach, the king that we're davening for, you would think he would have the best lineage, the purest family, unbelievable. If your daughter wanted to go out with the Melech HaMashiach, and you're looking into the lineage of Melech HaMashiach, we would probably not let our daughter go out with him. Lot and his daughters, Yehuda and Tamar, David and Bathsheba, this is the beginning of the Malchus? This is the beginning? So there's a Shiloh here. So if you look in the Ema Banim Smecha, the Shemi Shmuel actually says something related. I'm not going to say that right now. But the Ema Banim Smecha on page Kufchav Gimel quotes Kabbalistic sources, quotes from the Magid Meisharim, from the Beis Yosef, that many times when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give a great gift to the world, he has to cover it up, so to speak, so that the prosecuting forces in Shamayim don't say, oh, the Jews don't deserve it. See, he covers it up with covers that are even somewhat ugly, because he wants to bring it into the world, Behesach Hadas. And that's what the Magid Meisharim, the Beis Yosef Righteous Parshas Vayigash, that's why David HaMelech had to come in this way, and his descendants had to come in this way, the Melech HaMashiach, because it's an unbelievable gift to the world. And Hashem didn't want the prosecuting forces that he created to be able to claim that we don't deserve it, and that's why he brought it in this way. Again, part of a larger discussion, but that is one idea. Okay, this takes us through the first half of Sefer Shmuel Beis. But Hashem, next year will be a review, an overview of the first half, and then we'll get into the second half, which is all a result of what happened in these two prakim. Okay, we'll stop here.